Tired of the same old sports analysis? Then you need the SMQBs podcast. They're five attorneys, they're sports fanatics, and they're ready to make their case. Welcome to Sports Talk with an Edge. It's House.
I'm not just a professional athlete. I'm a beautiful woman.
Pope.
Is that what you call push-tush or whatever?
Rooster.
Talk about the lucky sperm club.
Milk.
Anyone else blushing, right? Is it hot in here or is it just me?
Woo. And Bison.
Mock me again. Go ahead, fellas. Mock me again.
What just happened?
SMQBs, episode 234. Mrs. House is here tonight. How are you, buddy?
You have something you need to tell our audience, House?
I'm hoping people check in a little late on this episode.
Oh, no. We're going to replay it.
I don't remember you saying that, but interesting.
But I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did.
Glad you did.
All right, House, let's start with you, buddy. Who are you bringing to the bar this week? I have an idea.
One quarterback hit, one tackle for a loss, one sack, five tackles, one turnover on downs, run stop, two block field goals, one return touchdown, the thick six. Let's go,
sir. Thick six.
300 pounds running 15.89 miles per hour. You're damn right I'm buying him a drink. I love you, Jordan Davis.
I mean, who clocked him? Good Lord.
Oh, boy.
How did you win that game? My God.
How did you cover?
Jordan Davis.
Milk, get us back on track. Who are you bringing to the bar?
I'm going similar NFL. I'm taking Baker Mayfield. We're now, he broke a record first time. I don't know if this is good or bad. Bringing a team back from behind under 2 minutes, three games in a row now.
First three games, yeah.
First three games. So he's put that team on his shoulders, and what a change in a career in 3 years. Unreal.
Pope, who you got?
We'll talk about it later, but I'm no surprise. I'm bringing Captain USA Keegan Bradley to the bar. Big week for the U.S. Let's see what Keegan has in store for us, and I'll be, from Northeast. Maybe I'll get him a Narragansett or something like that.
All right, Rooster, how about you?
I'm going to take the one and only Cam Scataboo. We all love this guy. I'd like to have a drink with him and get to know him a little bit before the CTE sets in.
He seems totally insane, by the way. I love it.
I'll bet you that guy drinks a lot of beer.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
He almost single-handedly beat UT last year in the playoff game.
I remember that.
Yeah, that's right.
That's where we got to know
him. Well, I mean, he almost single-handedly ran the ball down the field on the first drive, only to find out on fourth and three that, we don't have a field goal kicker for this game. Ruh-roh.
When did that happen that Gano went out? Like, just before?
I guess it was in warm-ups, but I mean, the guys,
that's the second time that's happened to you.
That's the second time he's an older guy, and they have no backup plans. How dumb is that?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of teams have issues with the field.
There's a young ho available.
Well,
that's right.
I'm bringing the second best quarterback in the NFC East.
There we go.
Because the number one best quarterback was sitting this one out, resting a sore knee. So Marcus Mariota came in.
Yes.
And just operated the offense perfectly, did exactly what he needed to. You had a game where Washington was coming off 10 days rest. The Raiders were coming off a 5. It's the perfect time for a backup to go in. And Marcus did exactly what he should have done, with the exception of one ill-advised leaping play where it led to a fumble. He was great, and he was very emotional after the game. This was his first start. He played two games last year where he came in relief, but this was his first start in, I don't know, it was like 3 years or something. I think he had a lot of fun playing. He even took the head coach out. We'll talk about that later. But everything happened. Wild game. Marcus Mariota, I'm bringing you to the bar.
I was very divided that I wasn't able to bring Carson, because I'm sure somebody
I'm a little
will
disappointed you didn't do that. Thought for sure you would.
Don't sleep on the Vikings now.
Oh, boy.
Ginger Jesus is here.
Oh, boy. Well,
Ginger's performance was a surprise.
It was definitely a surprise.
He looked good.
What was a surprise this week? Yeah, let's get into it.
Right.
Oh, my.
What the hell? What happened?
Well, I mean, it starts with Thursday night, really. I mean, the Bills struggled in that game against Miami, and Miami's bad. So, I think one of the things about this week is, just when you think you know the NFL, You know, then you have the Packers lose to the Browns and the Bills struggle with the Dolphins. And those are two teams that we thought might face each other in the Super Bowl, and they're struggling a little bit. I mean, any given Sunday, I don't even know what to say about the Colts anymore.
They're a machine.
I mean, it has been a relatively weak schedule, but they're pasting people. And Jonathan Taylor has completely turned the clock back. I don't know that he's ever been injured as far as you watch him run. He's just the Jonathan Taylor that was the number one fantasy draft pick. Sorry, Bison. Every single year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's incredible right now. I think he's the best running back in the NFL.
And Daniel Jones is no fluke either. He's making some really good plays. He's stepping up in the pocket. He's avoiding
dimes. What do you know?
He's avoiding the rush and just doing a great job. He looks like a QB1. He's good.
This is an important question. I want to get everybody's feedback on it. How long do we think Jonathan Taylor can keep this up? Is this going to be an all season sort of thing, or
or should you trade him?
You should trade him. You should trade him now. An injury is coming.
Yeah. Max value.
Interesting. How does the Giants general manager still have a job, by the way? I'm just curious.
Oh, if I have any say in the matter, he won't by next week.
I mean, Saquon and now this?
Yeah.
It's insane.
Who goes first, Napier or the Giants GM?
Apparently Napier's never getting
fired. For all the reasons Milk has laid out, the financial reasons and the not wanting the whole team to abandon ship, I think it's Joe Shane.
All right, let's talk about a couple NFL teams and where they stand right now. I just want to throw it out there, see what you guys think. Houston.
Huge shocker to me. Huge shocker. They're terrible. They are terrible, and I thought they were going to be a shoe-in for the playoffs this year.
They're going to get a win next week against the Titans, but they're bad.
They're 1 year and three games removed from being the darling of the NFL, looking at Super Bowls coming their way. And here they are, 0-3.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's two picks yesterday. That untimely fumble, by the way, at the end of the game. My God.
All right, next team, Atlanta.
Frauds. Wow.
Head scratcher. Holy smokes.
I have no idea what happened. But wait, hold on. Didn't their kicker miss like five field goals? Like the backup?
He would have needed to kick 12 field goals to keep him in the
game
yesterday.
They cut the Q guy, and then he missed all the backup game.
Penix threw two picks, too,
Penix
and one of
terrible.
Them was horrible.
Penix is really bad.
I would bring Cousins back in at this point.
They did.
You can't give up on Penix yet.
He needs to sit and watch a little bit because he was terrible. He's not the answer. Maybe draft another quarterback.
Wait, whoa. Yeah,
that's what they need.
Hold on. We're giving up on Penix already?
He sucks.
No. I wouldn't give up on him, but here's the deal. I mean, while the Bucs are likely to run away with that division, I agree that you bring in Cousins because I think that team has some talent. If you leave Penix in, this is a 6-11 or 7-10 year, forget about it, then you're just growing the team. I think they have enough talent to maybe make a little bit of run at it.
They've got two excellent running backs, an excellent wide receiver, and a tight end that everyone says should be excellent.
Yeah.
Cousins doesn't have the arm anymore. Isn't that why they got rid of him?
Well, he was hurt. I mean, yeah, he couldn't throw the ball last year, but he also, you know, he had a leg injury and an arm injury. So, House, this is for you, the Rams. Okay. I was at a game like you were, so
game
I didn't
of the
get
week.
To see it.
Okay,
but what
so
happened?
First of all, I think Kyren Williams is a top five running back in the NFL. I think if the Rams wanted to get crafty, they could get a really good draft pick in a trade for Blake Corum, who is also capable of being an RB1 on a team. He is so good. Puka Nacua is relatively uncoverable. He can get open whenever he wants. Stafford is a statue. So if you get to him, forget about it. I mean, like, really forget about it. But they're scary good. Vic Fangio is just an unbelievable coordinator. It's 2 weeks in a row, maybe three. He makes halftime adjustments unlike I've ever seen, except for a fumble on the, whatever, inside their own 10, which gave up an early 7 points in the first 50 seconds of the second half. After that happened, they surrendered 0 points for the rest of the game. and very, very little yardage, and their defense was incredible. But the Rams are very, very good. Verse is very, very difficult to deal with. Fisk is very, very difficult to deal with. They've shored up the middle of their defensive line. Yeah, we kind of roasted Emmanuel Forbes, but he's still a pretty good cornerback.
No, he's not.
He is.
You roasted Darius Williams, too. They're just too small to cover AJ.
Forbes is
certainly AJ.
I know you don't like Forbes because you gave up on him and you're disappointed, but he's okay. The Rams are good. The Rams are good.
I have a different take on the Rams. I think they're everything you said they are in terms of being good. And I know people are going to say, you're crazy for saying this. I think Sean McVay has a glaring weakness as a play caller. He sucks in the red zone. The Rams are terrible in the red zone, and they showed it in that game. And I don't know if you remember right after that Jared Verse strip sack when you benched your right tackle and brought in Fred Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Unsung hero of the game.
That was a big play for you guys. But then in one series, one critical series, the Rams lost a lineman and brought in a rookie guard. And it was like third and short or fourth and short. It might have been fourth and short. And McVay runs a play right up behind this guard. And your guy Davis just blew the whole play up and stopped it.
Not only that, but
that's
the guy.
That's a dumb play call.
The guy has raisins for nuts because he really had a number of opportunities where he was destroying us with the run game or destroying us with Nacua, and where he went for field goals, four of them, I think, in the first half, he should have gone for it on at least two of them. At least two of them. He had our defense gassed, and I think there's a lot of LA writers who are upset today. Like, to your point, McVay made some bad play calling and bad decision making. That said, the Eagles won that game in the second half. It wasn't the Rams that gave away the game.
No, I agree.
They didn't throw interceptions. They didn't fumble the ball. I don't know how much this was covered on television. Jalen Hurts had it with their offensive coordinator, Kevin Petullo. You could see it from the stands. I don't know if they showed it on TV. He was ripping them. Like, he's like, I got this. We're doing my play calling, not your play calling. We're not playing conservative. We're not doing 3 yards in a cloud of dust. I am airing the ball out to great wide receivers. And Jalen Hurts took over in the second half. He's a winner. The guy is a winner.
A.J. Brown just put the team on his back. I mean,
yeah, that one-handed catch was insane.
He had three or four plays where no one could tackle him.
That's what Olsen said. House, you didn't hear it during the game, obviously, but Olsen kept saying, he goes, you know, I don't understand why Philly thinks that they can get this game going by running to open up the pass. He goes, that's not the current NFL. You have to pass. Then you can run the ball. And he goes, finally, in the second half, something clicked, you know, clearly. And he said, you know, probably because they were down by so much, they didn't have any choice. It's almost like the best thing, right. I think Howie Long said it in the postgame. Best thing that happened to Philly was being down like that at halftime enabled them to finally open it up.
They haven't had to, right?
Do we think we're going to see a lot more A.J. Brown now moving forward?
You are going to see a lot more A.J. Brown, that's for sure. I told Milk that before the game.
Goddard had a big game, too. And
well, Devontae didn't have a bad game.
Devontae had a nice game.
It's all good.
Dotson still on your team?
Jahan Dotson made a good, important catch during the game, too. Okay. Jahan Dotson is a nice slot receiver. This week, we're going to be treated again to a really good one. The Bucs are very good at home. I know there's some injury issues.
This game's over already.
No, stop. That is going to be a good game.
I can't hear it. Our offensive line had 8 holding penalties yesterday, almost an NFL record. And we don't have Mike Evans, by the way. So, I mean, I don't know.
How long is he out?
Evans out?
Asking for a friend.
He's going to be out a few weeks, probably. So, this game, we have no chance of winning the Eagles game. And that's not a Jedi mind trick. That is the honest truth.
Chris Godwin's back.
You have no chance.
Chris Godwin?
No chance.
He hasn't played a game in a year.
Tristan Wirfs is back.
He's your second wide receiver now behind
Amike
Igbuka.
I would not play Chris Godwin or Tristan Wirfs in this game. It is stupid.
You can't count Baker out. You never know with Baker.
I mean, okay, I guess.
All right, but
D-line?
Let me ask you guys a question. As much as I love Nick Sirianni, tell me if you can give me a better coach in the NFL right now than Jim Harbaugh.
Nope.
That guy is a good – he has resurrected this guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that team is good because the Broncos are good. The Broncos are a good team.
Are they?
I mean, Herbert's in the MVP talk now, right? I mean, it's week three, but he's up there, right?
He and Dimes.
Harbaugh can coach at any level. The guy can coach.
Yeah.
He took the Niners to a Super Bowl. He took Michigan to a national championship. He comes in, he resurrects Herbert. Like, this guy is, I don't think we realize, like, he's really, really at the top.
Let's talk about the Niners for a second. They get the win, but at what cost?
Mm-hmm. Right? They lost Bosa.
Yeah, Bosa.
They lost Bosa for the season. What's that do to that team?
I mean, it's a
huge loss.
Or does it not matter because they're not really going anywhere anyway? Do we not
think
care?
Mac Jones can lead them to the promised land?
Well, I'm not sure Brock Purdy could lead them to the promised land either. So
Purdy's going to be back in week four. That's what they say.
How about this one? Can we stop with all the Patriots love? Can we bury that story now? Like that they were going to be good this year. They had everything going in the right direction.
Matt? Who loved the Patriots?
I don't.
Oh, there's a lot of preseason hype about the Patriots were going to be solid and we're going to be a good team and they were doing everything right and blah, blah, blah.
I mean, I think they're in the right direction, but I agree with you.
Yeah, let's just, we don't need to talk about them anymore.
No.
All right.
You know who else you don't need to talk about probably is the Bengals.
Oh, no, I wasn't going
to. Oh, please get to Milk and Jake Browning.
Yes,
I've been waiting for a segment.
The Jake
I've been
Browning
waiting for
segment.
The Milk Jake Browning segment. Please.
I have never been more disappointed than yesterday.
Wow, that's a lot.
I really thought, I did not expect that. I mean, what were his numbers? They were.
What about after the Central Florida game? Were you more disappointed than
South Florida?
South Florida, that one. Well, whatever. It doesn't matter.
One of the Floridas.
I mean, his defense didn't help him. Okay. Frowning. He'll get better. It's not that bad.
For real, the Vikings, talk about somebody who should hold a clipboard. JJ McCarthy should just watch for a little while. I'm not saying that Carson's a world beater, but he can, as Pope likes to always say, he can be a bus driver. He can absolutely drive the bus. He's seen enough NFL defenses. Let Carson go. You've got excellent wide receivers. Addison's going to come back. You've got really good offense all around. The defense is humming right now. They've made some nice additions on defense. I think the Vikings can really, really compete, even with the Lions, for that division. If Carson doesn't turn over the ball, he can definitely just drive that bus and control that team. The Vikings, you should not write them off.
So who were the backup quarterbacks that played yesterday? We had Mariota,
Mac Jones.
Browning.
Browning. And then what about, for the Jets?
Tyrod Taylor.
A lot of backups in week three.
Milk, how did you let them back into the game? What the F is wrong with you?
Let me tell you something. After seeing what you did with your blocked kick, I mean, you might have another one next week. I think our special teams coach should be fired.
Well, I agree with that.
I mean, we had a blocked punt on Monday Night Football last week. A blocked punt? And that
Jets
doesn't happen.
Back into a game.
It's you can't.
J-E-T-S.
That's what I'm telling you. We're a mirage. Our 3-0 combined record of the teams we've beaten is 1-8.
Oh,
that's an interesting stat.
I think we'll be exposed next week, and I would bet on Philadelphia. Just like I recommended Miami, and everybody made money who listens to the SMQBs. Take Philly.
Bison, I know that Mariota had a good game and everything, but what you saw on the other side of the field is an abysmal team, right? I mean, the Raiders are really bad, right?
Really bad.
Okay.
Really bad. I mean, the best player out there for them was Geno. I mean, if Geno...
Oh, Brock Bowers.
What has happened
Brock
to Bowers?
He did nothing.
He got zero points for me.
37 yards yesterday. If Geno doesn't evade like four would-be sacks, I mean, the Commanders had five sacks in the game, and there were four other plays where we were up out of our seats cheering the sack, and then the son of a bitch snuck away and completed a pass. I mean, and, you know, they got two garbage touchdowns at the end. But, yeah, they are not very good. And I don't know. I'm not sure about Genty.
Yeah, what did he look like?
Well, he doesn't have any offensive line, but he didn't look special. I mean, he didn't do anything, but I don't think his line's very good. So
just a guy.
I don't know. But that's a bad team. And, you know, again.
He's getting Saquon'd right now.
I don't know how the NFL, decides this stuff, but Washington plays a Thursday night game, gets 10 days of rest. The Raiders play a Monday night game, have to fly across country. That doesn't really seem fair. That's kind of screwed up. I don't know.
Well, speaking of bad teams.
Yes, can we go to the Cowboys, please?
Please,
please,
first
please.
Of all,
I want to talk about this.
I have to because of my legal assistant, who's a huge Bears fan. I told her I would bring the Bears mug on the pod.
Yes. All right.
They absolutely smoked the Cowboys and exposed the defense for probably, I think I was texting yesterday, the worst in the NFL. No ability to stop a pass over 20 yards.
Brutal. Like, really brutal secondary. Brutal defense.
Brutal scheme, brutal players, brutal execution.
Did Jerry say at some point that something about the defense will get better? Something crazy about what Michael Lipp?
So with Kenny Clark, who got hurt yesterday, but with Kenny Clark, he said, we'll be a better run-stop defense.
Okay.
Which is true. But they can't stop the pass. Who gives a fuck?
Well, Dak didn't exactly help them. How many picks?
Well, one pick was off of Pickens' hands. The other was he was trying to force a pass in the end zone when they were already down by 20-plus. He didn't have a bad game. It's kind of hard to put that on the offense. The offense basically needs to score 37 points a game for them to be competitive, and that's going to be
like
difficult.
The Giants.
Yeah,
but they scored 14, so that's not like – this wasn't a shootout. But, Pope, you are in a little bit of a pickle because you can't really stay in-state and move to Houston. We already talked about how bad they are. Do you go to Carolina with the connections? I mean, they had a good week, but I don't really think that's where you want to double down.
No.
Should we get a little pool going?
Where does
Pope's allegiance end
He's
up?
Been to San Diego. Don't
NFL,
forget that. He's been
you guys
to San
know
Diego.
This. I am stuck. I'm a hostage of the Jones family until I probably die or sooner.
Oh, my God. I can't imagine if Alabama loses to Georgia this weekend. We're really...
Hey. That's next.
Oh, he's got some backups there.
Oh, boy. All right, what else, NFL, what else do we have to talk about?
I think we have to talk about some locks.
Plex
yeah.
Too.
All right, let's do it.
Well, it should come as no surprise that we have one expert witness better amongst us who has gone to 3-0 while the rest of you dopes all lost. We went 1-4 this week, fellas.
Tad can start making money betting against us again.
House has moved to 3-0 with the Colts -3.5 against the Titans. Milk rode his Jake Browning right into the ground, losing +2.5 versus the Vikings.
That is awful.
Bison came close on Bills -12.5, but it was just a little too much as they only covered 10.
Bison wasn't close all weekend. All right, let's just leave it at that.
Rooster must have been 8 bourbons in when he took the Cowboys +1.5 at the Bears.
Oh, come on. Everyone thought that was a good pick.
Everybody did.
And Pope, I mean, you can't blame Pope. I mean, he made the best bet of the week of the Bucs -6.5 versus the Jets, but the Bucs just, I can't
you
say
had it
before this week. I'll say it after next week, hopefully. But yeah, so we're 1-4, which allows me to choose first. And I, having seen them firsthand, am going to take the Rams a surprising -3.5 versus the Colts, the 3-0 Colts. I Ooh. Like the Rams at home against the Colts.
Interesting.
So we will now go to our, we have 2-1-2 teams. The most recent victory came from Milk in week 2. So Milk, we're going to go to you next.
All right. Well, I'm buying into Carson Wentz fever. And I don't trust the Steelers, even though they beat a shitty Patriots team. I'll take them. Is it -2.5?
Yes, they're in Dublin. So hopefully that doesn't matter to you. But that's,
early start.
Good Vikes -2.5 in Dublin.
All right. I like it. Put me down.
Okay. Bison also has a win in week 2. So Bison, we go to you.
Oh, God. I don't like any of these games. And I clearly don't have any idea what I'm doing anymore. I think I'm going to take the Chargers -6.5. At the Giants.
I like that. That was my other one. All right. Now we go to our other 1-2, the Roosters.
I think the Bills are going to destroy the Saints.
That's true.
Bills -15.5.
Oh. Okay. And then we won't say his record, but it would be good if Pope could get his first win this week. So Pope.
The bagel.
Pope. Take the Eagles, Pope. Do it.
Don't do it.
I am. Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
I was hoping nobody would do it.
It's a good bet. It's a good bet.
I'm on board with the Eagles -3.5.
Do it. Yeah. Easy money.
I really hope Pope better gets first win this week.
Just one other thing from the weekend. Caleb Williams, is that what we're going to see more of? I mean, he looked
He looked as good as Russell Wilson did the week before against the poorest defense.
But I said, you know, starting week one that he looked like a different quarterback. And then he put it all together yesterday. Is that just a product of playing a terrible defense?
I think there's
defense?
A difference between Caleb and Russell. Like the big game Russell had, he threw a lot of moon balls that just happened to land in the receiver's hands. Caleb was throwing some darts. He's got some good action on the ball.
Russell
could never make those throws.
I mean, he
right
did
now.
Hit his wide open receivers very well yesterday.
Yeah. Bison made a good observation. His feet are still now. He doesn't have happy feet anymore. And the ease with which he throws the ball is crazy. He is a very, very live arm.
Yeah.
He's a weapon when he starts running. I mean, he got a bunch of rushing yards. And when they had that 19-play, 10-minute drive that broke our back in third quarter, he had four or five rushes for, you know, good gains.
Yeah.
Before we move on, we have to address the Packers' loss at Cleveland. Oof.
Oh, we're taking the statue down?
Well, can somebody tell me what the hell happened yesterday?
How did that happen?
Seriously.
I mean,
I don't know.
13 points in what, four
Gerritsen
minutes?
Gerritsen just decided he had enough and was going to dominate the game for one thing.
Well, Jordan Love had a big pick, didn't he?
Don't trust Jordan Love.
I mean, 10-0 into the fourth quarter, right? Flacco was awful.
It should have been 20-0, though.
Well, you know what happened, Milk? The go-ahead field goal was blocked. The Packers were going to kick a go-ahead field goal, which was blocked. And then the Browns got it, and they were able to kick a 55-yard field goal after a couple plays as the time expired.
I don't understand this slew of blocked field goals. I mean, it's easier now if you're the offense to block on a field goal because nobody's allowed to even touch the center.
So why don't they just go back 2 yards? Why? I mean, is this not rocket science? If you're getting field goals blocked, just move it back. How hard can that be?
I don't know. It's definitely something to watch, though, because that was a lot of blocked field goals. So let's see.
Game-changing, game-winning blocked field goals, too.
The Packers and their defense had a 10-0 lead with under 4 minutes.
Yeah.
It's as bad as it gets.
We had our first punt return for a touchdown since 2016 and the first game since 1994 that we had a kickoff return 60-plus yards and a punt return since 1994. Wow. All right, Rooster, talk to us about some of our fantastic sponsors before we move on to college.
Let's start with Milkman. Tell us about Injury Board, buddy.
Well, it's a premier membership organization of the top plaintiff trial law firms in the country. House, Bison, Rooster, and Pope, very fortunate to have them as members of our group. And we're gearing up for a big summit here in Savannah, Georgia in 2 weeks. Networking, education. So if you're thinking about growing your network, think about injuryboard.org. Visit today.
This is also, we're also being brought to you tonight by Assembly, which has developed case management software for law firms for decades and now has the cloud-based Neo system that is not only an outstanding case management program, but it's backed up by solid, helpful, experienced, and competent staff.
Truth. All right. Let's get into a little college football. I'll check my emails while you guys talk. Pope, House, who's taking over? Who's doing this?
Well, before the guys who know college football get into it, I just want to say that my man, Fernando
Mendoza
has cemented himself as the current leader to be the first pick in the NFL draft next April. I mean, he has in three games thrown for 975 yards, 14 touchdowns, and zero interceptions.
That's crazy.
And he's 6'5", 225, by the way.
That was a shocking win for me. I honestly thought Illinois is a lot better than that.
Well, obviously the writers and coaches did too, because nobody answered me. How the fuck are they number 9? I do not get that. That was one of the worst missed rankings I think in a long time. I think this was a fun weekend, but it's just an appetizer for the entree next week. I mean, there were some good games, but God, next week we can talk about that. Will be Titanic. I think, from my perspective, the two biggest games were Florida going into Miami, and you know we now know who they are.
That was a big
game. Well, it was for a little while, and then Florida, you know, they made a little comeback, but we'll hear more about it. But I think Auburn, Oklahoma, you know, you could argue Auburn got screwed on a couple calls. But OU was able to prevail and, you know, undefeated going in, probably going into the Texas game in a couple weeks, the Red River rivalry. So Mateer didn't have a great game, but he did enough to win, which is, you know, what you need to do to keep the ball going. House, I mean, I know you want to talk about a little bit about the Tulane game.
Talk about all-time bad beat, too, right?
For who?
In the Oklahoma game.
Oh, the Oklahoma game is wild.
I love it when the broadcasters are like, "Well, that safety was of interest to a lot of people.
Several people.
Today,
well,
right? Might have been of interest to this pod.
Yeah.
Just you know, hypothetically speaking.
You're right.
Some it was great. Some it was good.
As I understand it, the rankings this week will have number 4 LSU going into number 13 Ole Miss.
Yep.
No one should be surprised if Ole Miss wins that game.
Yeah. No, not at all.
I think LSU's highly overrated.
I'm not saying that Tulane are like world beaters. They're still a G5 team, but they had two nice Power 4 wins. Northwestern's not good. Duke's just okay. But you're still measuring up against 4- and 5-star players with basically 3-star players and holding your own. Ole Miss is crazy, and this kid Chambliss, they better not change quarterbacks. They're playing with a backup that people have been jokingly calling Baby Lamar or Lamar Jr., and that's how he plays. He plays with his feet. He plays with his arm. There were a lot of Tulane fans who were incredibly pissed off through the end of the game. I don't know whether it's punchable or not that you're running up the score and you're still throwing up 30, 40 points and you're still going no huddle. That's Lane Kiffin's. That's just his deal. That's just his deal. But the conditioning on that team is crazy. Ole Miss is a very, very good football team. And I think that LSU Ole Miss game is just as exciting to watch for as your game, Pope, which you'll tell us about.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, let's get into it. But I mean, you got for the nightcap, you got Alabama, Georgia, and Oregon, Penn State. I mean, Oregon, Penn State is, if you look at the rankings, a bigger game. It's like 2 and 3 and 6 or something like that. I mean, game day is going to Happy Valley because it's a bigger game, arguably. And then you also have, so you got LSU, Ole Miss, and then there's another big Titanic match next week. Who is it? I'm missing.
No,
Tennessee, three, maybe?
Oregon.
There's three big ones. I mean, OSU,
Washington.
Yeah, I mean, there's USC, Illinois.
Well, Auburn and A&M is a big game, too. I realize Auburn's lost a game, but that's a huge game in the SEC. Mm-hmm. And we'll find out a lot about A&M, too. I mean, A&M's number 9 right now.
Okay, but Pope, going back to Bama, Georgia, I mean, Bama has beat up on Little Sisters of the Poor the last couple weeks or whatever,
yep.
but really, really grooving. So, and Georgia, if you count the Tennessee struggle, like, it doesn't seem the Georgia team of the last 3 or 4 years. So what's going to happen here? I mean, being as unbiased as you can, what's going to happen?
Well, I mean, the pressure is on Alabama. The pressure is on Kalen DeBoer to get a big win and maybe silence some of his critics, at least for a week. I mean, their schedule is just brutal. But if they don't win this game, then they're in real, real big trouble. Ty Simpson's looked a lot better. They got Jam Miller, their number one running back, who's coming back. They just announced that today. I don't know, you know, if Georgia's going to be able to contain Ryan Williams. Last year, obviously, they couldn't. He had that huge catch to win, you know, the game at the end after Georgia's great comeback. I don't know. I mean, obviously, there's some pressure on Kirby as well, but I haven't seen what the line is lately. God, what is the line?
2.5.
Milk, you're the SEC outsider looking in. Who do you think is winning this game?
I've got Georgia until Alabama proves otherwise. That win at Tennessee was huge. Tennessee's a very good team, And to go just to, I know it ended crazy, but for Georgia to go in there, first year, whatever, quarterback, come out with a victory, I think they grew tremendously in that game. I'm not saying all I know from Alabama, because I'm not giving them any credit for Wisconsin or shit teams that they've run the score up on. I know them from the Florida State game, who is a good team. Could be really good.
Could be a great team.
Could be a great team. But I think at Georgia, I'm sorry, I don't see Alabama winning this game. And Georgia could win by 2 touchdowns.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
I think one of us is actually going to be at the game. And did I hear that right?
That's right. I don't want to hear about College game day going to fucking Happy Valley. Bison's going to Athens, baby. That's wow. Where it matters.
Nice. I love it. Nice. That's going to be an amazing college football environment.
You're going to love it, Bison.
I'm sure I'll remember it well.
Couple other comments. First of all, can we stop talking about Nebraska now? I know how you love them.
Please.
Why?
Please.
0-28, I think, for the Nine. Against the last ranked teams.
What was it, 2017?
They haven't beat a ranked team in almost a decade.
Yeah.
A decade? Is that for real?
A ranked team.
30-27. It was close.
Okay, so let's stop. Actually, that score was closer than it probably should have. They hit a Hail Mary with 1 second left between halftime. As I said in my preseason Big 12 cover, Texas Tech, big win at Utah. They did it with a backup quarterback, actually, because their starter got hurt. I'm telling you, Texas Tech could be number one in the nation soon. And this weekend, I've got 3 teams on upset alert. I'm telling you, watch out Friday night, Florida State. UVA is my team, baby.
No way.
Take the
what are you talking about?
I just celebrated beating William & Mary 2 weeks ago.
You are smoking.
I'm just saying it's Friday night. It's a short week. Crazy things have happened in Charlottesville.
Never happened.
They are a good team.
They lost UVA's to NC offense, State, who sucked, who just UVA's, lost to Duke.
UVA's offense on, is milk. Really good. Okay. I'm just saying. I'm not saying. I said it just it could happen. It'll be closer than you think. I also think Washington can beat Ohio State at Washington.
Wow.
What?
This is freshman quarterback's first road trip, going out way far away. Washington's 3-0. They're not a bad team. They got a really good quarterback.
It's one thing to cover. It's another thing to say straight up upset.
Just saying these things could happen. I'm not saying they are. And also, I
you said upset alert.
I think upset that, alert. I'm not saying they are. I'm just saying watch
out. He's backing
out.
Off this upset alert as fast as he can.
Have they legalized pot in Florida?
Backpedal.
All right. All right.
He didn't say it was a lock.
I like listen. Michigan went to Oklahoma. I know I'm not comparing Washington and Oklahoma. I like freshman quarterbacks on their first away game. Just be careful. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
And by the way, Tennessee could lose at Mississippi State. So that's my
all right, let's get to some locks. Wow.
Come on. All right. Natalie, please get a urine sample. Okay, so we have another undefeated team in Mateer Matters, none other than the guy who was just talking crazy town.
Oh, wow.
Milk, who just took Texas Tech plus 3.5 versus Utah, has moved to 3-0. I appreciate Bison's love. At Tulane plus 3.5.
I tried,
plus 11.5, but thank you. But he's moved to 1-2. I have no idea. I barely remember any of college, and I certainly can't bet it. So I took Georgia Tech 23.5 versus Temple. They came up a little short, a couple points short. I'm 0-3. Rooster got his monkey off his back, take Maryland plus 9.5 at Wisconsin to move to 1-2. And Pope is now climbing up on Milk. Milk, don't make a screw up this week because Pope took OU minus 6.5 versus Auburn to move to 2-1. So we start with Milk.
Funny how I got that half just point in the Mateer Matters.
Piss me off. I'm taking Washington and give me the 9.5 or whatever it is.
Wow. That's crazy.
Whoa. Let's go. Okay, you'll so see.
That's something
he goes
I would
3-1.
That's something I would have done.
Uh-huh. All right. Pope, that allows you.
Yeah, I'm just going to piss you off, Milk, because I think Florida State's going to blow out Virginia. So I will take Florida State and giving 6.5. Charlottesville.
It's only 6.5?
Yes.
That's an interesting line. I mean, I thought it'd be way more than that, but I still think they can win.
Well, they're going to get blown out.
Okay. All right.
All right. Rooster?
I'm taking Syracuse plus 4.5 over Duke.
Oh, after that big Clemson win.
Clemson, they beat up on Clemson, and they're getting 4.5 against Duke.
Rooster's now, going
they
deep
did
into
lose
the
their
schedule.
Quarterback, though.
Yeah, they lost their quarterback.
Yeah, he broke his like leg or something.
Uh-oh.
So you may want to change that bet.
Yeah, maybe I'll change that. Hold on.
We'll come back to you,
come
Rooster.
Back to
no, I'm going to stick with my boy.
And unfortunately, the Gators have a bye week, so you can't bet against them.
I'm going to stick with my man Mendoza then and go Indiana minus 7.5 at Iowa.
Okay.
I like that.
Rooster, this is like, you know, like when somebody gets engaged and they get married, and like the best advice for the groom is like pick one thing at the wedding that you're going to pretend you really care about. It makes your fiance think you actually give a shit. So Rooster's gone all in on this quarterback to make us think that he actually cares about college football.
Oh, I am under no illusion that I care about college football. I just like to forecast who's going to be drafted.
this might be a New York Giants thing.
I like
you
this.
You already have your quarterback. He needs to start.
And we go to Bison. Give me the Dogs, man. Minus 2.5. Georgia. They're going to cover that. Sorry, okay. Pogan.
Like it.
That's not a bad bet.
I mean, you're just saying it's a straight up win. I mean,
that's a money line bet. Don't even take the points.
Okay. And having pissed me off in game one and screwing up my whole vision of the season, I'm done with Kansas State. And I like the Golden Knights of University of Central Florida plus 6.5 at Kansas State. Undefeated UCF is going to roll them.
Okay.
They looked good against a really bad Carolina team.
Yeah.
UCF is playing with a chip.
Yes.
All right. Hey, Rooster, let's talk about another sponsor.
All right, let's talk about Digital Law Marketing, our sponsor and our website developer for the SMQBs. Digital Law Marketing does websites and digital marketing for law firms. We've been a customer for several years, Bison for even longer. And really, after struggling to find a good digital marketing firm, I have to tell you, they are the best. Their people are awesome, and their results are fantastic. DigitalLawMarketing.com.
Pope, you've been drooling, chomping at the bit over there.
Yes.
Waiting to get into it. Let's talk a little golf.
Ryder Cup. This is the Ryder Cup week, boys. Every 2 years, one of my favorite weeks of the year. Europe, if you look at it on paper, should not lose the Ryder Cup, even though we're on U.S. soil. And which is interesting, in 30 years, there's only been 3 times that the home team has lost, and they've all been Europe beating the U.S. on its own home soil. So if you look at the teams, it's hard to handicap and say that Europe is going to lose. I mean, they have 43 years of experience with Rory with 8, Justin Rose with 7, and the others with at least 3 or 4 years of experience. The U.S. has 4 rookies, and they have a collective 23 years of experience. And the most experienced is Justin Thomas, who was a captain's pick. It seems like, you know, basically Europe has brought their same team over that fleeced us in Italy, 16.5, 11.5. Luke Donald is the captain. They have 11 out of the 12 players, and the only difference is Hogarth has a twin brother who is not playing this time because Nicholas is sitting out and his twin is playing this time. So from an experience standpoint, from a, probably better on paper standpoint and a momentum standpoint, I think it's going to be tough for the boys. That all being said, it is the Ryder Cup. It's at Bethpage Black. It's going to be nuts out there. You know, I think the home crowd advantage is going to be pretty big. Keegan Bradley is probably the best captain we could have at this time for the moment. You know, he's going to lean heavily on the big guns. Scotty has got to come through. Xander's got to come through. You know, Bryson, he's got to really step up and help the rookies. It's gonna be, even though the U.S. is slightly favored, which I guess it's got to be all about the home, you know, home golf course advantage. I think it's gonna be a good match, but I still think Europe can potentially eke it out. What do you guys think?
So, what's been the last couple times, Pope? I don't know if you know this off the top of your head, but what's been the last couple times we've been on home soil? How much of an advantage has it been to USA?
It's huge. We won Hazeltine by, what, 6 or 7 points? And then at Whistling Straits, I think we won like 19-11, just smoked them. So it's a big advantage. But, man, this European team, I don't know if you guys have been watching them since they came over about a week ago. I mean, they're a tight group. They have a lot of fun. Don't take each other seriously. I think they're just going to be so loose. And, you know, the U.S. team, if they get behind in four ball in the morning, it, you know, they tighten up. I mean, we'll see. Maybe this year's different.
Pope, do you think that the entire European team will get through border control?
They've already made it.
Already made it.
Also, what are writers saying about, or what do you think about Keegan Bradley as a captain?
I think it's a good pick. I mean, I think, you know, other than the fact that he took himself out of consideration because we damn sure could use his talent, he's top 15 right now, I think he's made all the right moves. Look, you know, he had all the guys come out to Napa where they just where Scotty won the Pro Cure or whatever it was, just to show that, you know, he can win anytime, even if you spot him a bunch of strokes going in. But Bryson came out there, even though he couldn't play because he's on the live, came out there. He was part of the whole, you know, they would go to dinners. And so, I mean, Keegan, I think the room, you know, they always talk about the chemistry in the rooms in the Ryder Cup and Europe. I mean, I just talked about it. U.S., it'll be interesting. I mean, you've got these rookies, J.J. Spahn, Russell Henley, Ben Griffin and Cam Young. I mean, how are they going to meld with the rest of the guys? There's just not a whole lot of experience that U.S. can lean on. I think Keegan is not a bad choice. And, you know, he got snubbed 2 years ago, so he's got clearly a chip on his shoulder. I just don't know if he can put him over the finish line.
And if it's a close match going into singles, other than Scotty, who's the U.S. relying on for that anchor guy to bring it home in the singles matches? Like, who does it come
Bryson.
Down to?
It's got to be Bryson.
Yeah.
Let's say it's real close going in on, you know, half point, whatever. I think you got to throw Scotty out fairly early to make sure you get a point and get some momentum. But, yeah, no, it could be JT could potentially be maybe not the anchor match, but maybe in the final two or three matches because of his experience. Patrick Cantlay is actually, you know, he's a really good match player. So I don't know, but, man, we have some – even though they played good, had good years, J.J. Spahn and Ben Griffin, Cam Young, they don't, I don't think Europe's too concerned about them.
Are they just – is the European team from top to bottom just – they just – I mean, just thinking about this year and the last 2 months.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, Justin Rose won a tournament.
Yeah, and Fleetwood won the Tour Championship.
And Fleetwood. I mean, they just seem like they've got – I mean, even Lowry, who's a captain's pick, I think.
Yeah, he is.
He's been playing well. Great.
Yeah. He won a tournament this year.
Plus, you've got the experience, too. You not only have Justin Rose with the experience, you've got him playing golf, winning FedEx tournaments.
We haven't even talked about Rombo. They got John Rahm. I mean, and they got Hovland and Fitzpatrick, who haven't had great years but are solid players.
But
I mean,
to your point, House, if it gets into the singles and it's close, I think it's over for the U.S.
All right, Pope, when does it start?
Friday morning, 7 a.m., first tee, Bethpage Black, 36-36 on Friday, Saturday, and singles on Sunday.
The New York crowd will be crazy.
Yes, exactly.
Your crowd, absolutely.
You will never hear anything like this crowd.
That might be the X factor. Because Rory is going to get abused.
I think that is why the U.S. is favored, is because home teams win, generally speaking. We've won the last two big, and Bethpage Black, they're expecting, you know, it to be, like you said, the 13th man, whatever you want to call it.
Hey, Rooster, we got one more sponsor to show some love to.
We do.
Another software company for law firms, Supio, provides superior AI to coexist with your case management system and produce for you excellent demand letters, medical chronologies, and other things without you having to do anything. Just plug it into their AI, and there you go. Supio.com.
Get on board, guys. AI is here. Gents, who's got a punch?
It's this week's punchable face.
Got one. Nobody has one.
You have one?
No. Nope. I've got one.
Oh, good, good.
All right. I am punching Jordan Hudson and Bill Belichick.
Oh, yes.
That freaking scene on the sidelines.
Smooching.
This weekend.
Ridiculous.
What is going seriously, what is going on there? I mean, she is literally on the sidelines. They are in some sort of, I don't know if she's trying to talk him up. Come on, you can do this, Bill. In her boots? What is happening?
Yeah, shorts and boots.
And then he gets his ass kicked. This is the most fucked up situation I've ever seen. This girl is literally walking along that sideline the entire time. I mean, these players, who, by the way, she's the same age as, have got to be
just
like
slightly
what?
Older.
It's a bad look. It's a bad look for the university.
Oh my God. I mean, is he going to make it more than a year?
Is he going to make the full year?
The full year? Is he going to come back next year?
This well, his is like son, turning you know, into they've, a they've got a deal where his son's going to take over, but it's not exactly like his son's a great coach.
Yeah, that doesn't give me much.
Is that confidence. The son with the mullet?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Yes. The one who always looks crazy on the sidelines.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, this was a Hail Mary by Carolina, and, you know, right now it's definitely got egg on its face.
UCF is not that good, by the way, like to blow out people.
Well, they're going to be Kansas
anyways.
State. All right. Any other punches?
How did you not punch Napier?
He's so beaten down.
I told you, he wants to bury him, not punch him. Yeah. I'm in the acceptance stage of grief. But let's just punch Strickland. Scott Strickland, our AD. I'll punch him every freaking week from here on out until he fires me.
Well, you got a lot of punches left because have you seen your schedule?
Yeah. So we should probably fire him like now, but he hasn't because he's weak and too scared.
Well, you got a bye week before the Horns come in town.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. None of this matters.
Yeah.
All right, who's got a lasso? I have a short one. I think one of the best traditions in all of college sports, if not sports, surely you guys have seen at the end of the first quarter at home football games for Iowa, where everybody in the stands turns around and waves to the children's hospital that's looking down at the stadium. I just think that is the classiest, most touching thing. You know, college kids who normally don't really have their heads on and they're going crazy, they all know to take the time and wave. So this past weekend, Iowa was playing at Rutgers on a Friday. I think it was a Friday night game. I don't know. It was Thursday night or Friday night. And so at the end of the first quarter at Rutgers, they lit up the stadium red and they sent up into the air over the stadium a giant drone show of a hand waving to the kids who might be back in Iowa City watching their beloved Iowa Hawkeyes watching the game to keep the tradition alive. And I just think, especially in the heated contest of college sports, like when you put that to the side and you make sure that humanity is over competition, that was so, so cool. If you haven't seen the video of the big drone show at Rutgers of the big hand waving back to the kids at Iowa City, that is deserving of a lasso.
All right, good one. I've got one. Gents, there is a generation of football fans who don't know the bounce of RFK. They don't know the chants of We Want Dallas. They don't know the three Super Bowls in 10 years that the Commanders, then the Redskins, had. They don't know the glory days. And perhaps coincidentally, those glory days came to a screeching halt when the franchise left that RFK Stadium site and moved out to the abysmal suburb of Landover, Maryland, which, by the way, was called Raljohn at one point because Jack Kent Cooke named it after his two sons.
It was awful.
But perhaps, perhaps he's on his way to becoming the greatest owner in the NFL.
Oh, boy.
Jeez.
Oh, please record this so we can save it.
Josh Harris has done what seemed unthinkable. He's bringing the team back to Washington this week, ladies and gentlemen. The D.C. Council voted to approve the stadium deal. The Commanders coming back to their spiritual home.
That's awesome.
They'll be playing in a new stadium back in the district in 2030.
And how old is to Josh, Jaden Daniels going to be? 32 by then?
That's a good question.
He's already
like 27. Hold on. Keep going. Keep going.
The ovation that Daniels got yesterday. This is a special moment.
You mean Harris?
That Harris got yesterday. This is a moment that you could have only dreamed of for years. We're coming back to the spiritual home. It happened. We're back. And for that, Mr. Josh Harris.
Why is it credited to Magic Johnson?
Harris a lasso. Thank you, Mr. Harris, for being our savior and bringing the team home.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. My goodness. Yes.
Aren't you walking distance from the stadium?
For being our savior.
We will be walking. I will be walking distance to the stadium.
Great lasso. Very heartfelt. I could feel it, hear it in your voice.
I've been to a game at RFK, and it is amazing.
Hey, wouldn't happen without Harris. Great
That's
job.
That's right. God bless him.
Well, let me, I just can't, this is really, oh man. Well, this is emotional, and it's not because Josh Harris makes me want to throw up, but we're going to pour one out this week. So speaking of, it's because it's a good segue, because, you know, a lot of people today in DC who are growing up with the new Commanders don't know of, you know, those great teams and the Hogs and all that stuff. And there's a lot of people in Philly today and around the country who don't know of some of these players that are starting to depart, the great ones from a long time ago. But we lost in Philadelphia a member of the Flyers' Mount Rushmore for sure.
Definitely.
I mean, everybody talks about, of course, Bobby Clark and Bill Barber and Dave Schultz and Eddie Hospodar and, you know, the guys that threw punches. But Bernie Parent, our goaltender for our only two Stanley Cups in Philadelphia, there were many, many cars in the 70s that were adorned with the bumper sticker that said, "Only the Lord saves more than Bernie Parent." The guy was otherworldly and not just in between the pipes, but after his career ended on we'll talk about it in a second, really fluke crazy thing that happened. He became a pillar of the community, unbelievably philanthropic, lending his name to everything, and in many ways the face of the Flyers. Bobby Clark said that truly Bernie Parent never had a bad day in his life. He was always, always a happy guy, always willing to sign an autograph, be in your picture, lend himself to your, you know, golf outing, whatever it was. Bernie Parent, this is pretty hard to do in two consecutive seasons. It actually reminds me recently of what Milk had in Tampa with Vasi. But Bernie Parent in two consecutive seasons won not only the Vezina Trophy for the best goaltender, but
Conn Smythe, right? The
Conn Smythe in both the 74 and 75 Stanley Cups, winning both Stanley Cups with shutouts, 1-0 against the Bruins, 2-0 against the Sabres. They tell the story now how he was part of the original Flyers in 1967. The Flyers made the playoffs their first year, and one of the games against the St. Louis Blues, they lost that series. They lost it in overtime, and Bernie Parent saved 63 of 64 shots in his first season with the Flyers. He was traded away and left the then Philadelphia Spectrum in tears. And the interesting story is that he was traded to the Toronto Maple Leafs, where he got to get tutelage under the great Jacques Plante. And that's then the Flyers traded to get him back. And as soon as they got him back, they won two Stanley Cups. In 1979, Bernie Parent was in the net, and there was a scuffle between the Flyers and the Rangers. Just, you know, what happens after play when people kind of are jawing in front of the net. Someone's stick came up and hit him in his right eye, basically knocked out his eye, and ended his career after that. He never played again. After 10 seasons in the NHL, he had to end a great career. And he went on to become a mentor to the Flyers' next great goaltender after Ron Hextall was a kid named Pelle Lindbergh. And Pelle Lindbergh was this incredible Swedish goalie. And he brought Pelle Lindbergh to a Vezina trophy. And Pelle gave all the credit to Bernie Parent. And then Pelle Lindbergh ran his car into a tree and died. And Bernie Parent was crushed and became an alcoholic. And then his just went into a tailspin, and then he got himself back right and died sober 46 years of sobriety. It's an incredible life story. It's a real hurt in Philly this week with his death. Definitely pouring one out for one of the great guys of hockey. You'll see the number one on the Flyers all season this year. And here's one to the great Bernie Parent.
Well told, House. Nice job.
Yes,
yep.
Indeed.
Nice job.
All right, buzzer beaters. I got a couple.
Milk, you must have one. Big news in Tampa today.
Yeah. Rays have officially been sold. Or I guess all the MLB voters, owners, voted to approve the sale. So Jacksonville developer Patrick Zalupski is our new owner. And now,
Congrats. The
debate of where they will put the stadium and if they will move the team to Orlando, because we don't know.
Well, I just hope, Milk, that you have a superstar owner like the Commanders do who can bring the team.
I hope he's as good as Josh Harris.
Back to the spiritual home.
Yeah. Maybe they'll spend some money. We'll see.
Let's stick with baseball for a minute.
Yes.
We're going into
the rundown.
Last week of the season.
Yep.
It's pretty wild what's going on out there right now. In the AL East, the Yankees are two games behind the Blue Jays, who have clinched a spot. You've also got Houston's three games behind Seattle. I think Seattle's probably in pretty good shape to hold on to the West.
Swept the Astros in Houston. Unbelievable.
Yeah. So Seattle's in a probably pretty good spot there. The wildest is in the AL Central, where Detroit, who we've been talking about as being the best team in baseball for a good chunk of the season, has gone 1-9 in their last 10, and the Guardians have gone 9-1 and are now one game behind them for the AL Central title. By the way, the only team in the AL that has clinched a spot,
Blue Jays, right?
Is the Blue Jays.
Blue Jays. Yeah.
So Detroit could end up not in the postseason.
Guardians are tied for the last wild card now with the Astros.
And so as far as the wild card in the AL, right now, you've got Toronto, Seattle, and Detroit as the division winners. The wild card, the Yankees are in pretty good shape, up 4. The Sox are one game up in the wild card, and then Houston and Cleveland are tied. So that's the AL. And then going over to the NL.
Big news in the NL East.
Yeah, in the NL East, the lowly Washington Nationals, taking 2 out of 3 from the Mets, really put a damper on their postseason hopes.
They're tied right now with the Reds.
Yeah.
Nobody thought the Reds had a chance.
Phillies have clinched the East. The Brewers have clinched the Central. The Cubs and Dodgers have both clinched a playoff spot. So what that means is, I guess we've got the West is still up for grabs for who's going to win it. The Padres are, I guess, just behind the Dodgers there. And then the other two wild cards, it looks like it's going to come down to the Reds or Mets. So some
or Diamondbacks.
D-backs
are back.
That's true. You're right. Absolutely.
Nerds team is just.
They're playing really well.
Amazing.
Yep.
Really
yep.
well.
So congrats to the Blue Jays. Rooster thinks they're limping into the playoffs.
They're looking weak coming
in. Moose Jaw thinks they're on fire. Toronto's pretty excited, but baseball that really matters this last week. We really don't know how it's going to shake out. That's one buzzer for me. Anybody have a buzzer?
It looks like I'm going to lose my home run bet with House. Thanks to Aaron Judge's wrist injury this year. He's got 49, and your guy has, what, 54?
53, 54. Mm.
So 54 unless, Aaron Judge, Aaron Judge has some multi-homer games.
Pope, congrats to Cal Raleigh on surpassing none other than the kid. He surpassed Ken Griffey Jr. for the all-time Mariners home run hitter.
Almost sacrilege.
Crazy. Wow.
It's crazy. Well, he is sacrilege. Of all time, too.
Is he at 60?
He's at 58, I think.
58.
Thought he hit his 59th.
Rooster, do you know who the Blue Jays play the last three games of the year?
Just the Rays.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
You're going to need us.
Mm. Spoiler.
You need to apologize for every bad thing you've ever said about the Rays.
I still hate Kevin Cash, but come through for me.
All right.
Here are my other two buzzers. Just one quick one. It's a little homer thing, but it's actually pretty cool to watch. If you haven't seen the Mariota take out Dan Quinn on the sideline, and Quinn pop up, and the call of the weekend goes to Frankie Louvu in the locker room, who gave a game ball to Quinn and said, "That's a bad motherfucker who pops up like toast." So
he got hurt really bad, didn't he? Wasn't there
busted his nose pretty good?
Blood gushing.
Well, he hit the back of his head. Yeah,
his head bounced off the.
They're worried about the other ground. Thing. I want to note is just a little WNBA. Caitlin Clark gets a lot of cred, and the other one, what's her name? Angel Reese.
Angel Reese
also brought a lot of attention. You've got Sabrina Ionescu, you got Paige Buecher, but there's a player in DC, Sonia Citrone, who's had quite a year.
This guy.
But she did. She just broke Caitlin Clark's rookie scoring record. I don't think anybody knew that. And she also had her 36th double-digit scoring game, beating Clark's record of 35. She was first in the WNBA in three-point percentage. So, let's give a little love to Sonia Citrone.
Did you mention Asia Wilson?
Oh, no. Also,
she's the back-to-back MVP, and no one ever says anything about her.
Right. So let's just, keep in mind all the
Mason only worries
players.
About his own teams.
I have a quick buzzer. I just want to highlight for you why Jackson Dart or Jameis should be the starting quarterback for the Giants and not Russell Wilson. In the game against Kansas City, the Giants get down to the Kansas City 4-yard line, and Russell Wilson takes an intentional grounding penalty. Mm. And they get knocked way back. Later in that drive, on fourth down, he throws the ball out of bounds.
No, he's stopping the clock.
On fourth down?
On fourth down.
He was stopping the clock.
I mean, it's not like the guy's been in the league for 20 years.
Oh, boy.
Unbelievable.
Oh, boy.
Congrats to Ousmane Dembele, who moments ago won the Ballon d'Or on the world's best soccer player, essentially the world MVP of soccer, eking out a super kid, Lamine Yamal. But Dembele and PSG had an incredible year, is the deserving winner. Lamine will get his in the future.
Taking a peek ahead to NBA, devastating news for the Rockets. They just announced that Fred VanVleet tore his ACL and he's out for the year.
Wow.
No bueno.
That is not good.
A lot of injuries this year.
Great show, fellas.
Go Birds.
Roll Tide.
Catch you next week.
Bucks.